Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're going deep on Walgreens Boots Alliance, Inc.
The one and only.
Yeah. We've got their 10K filing for fiscal year 2024 and the transcript from their latest earnings call for fiscal year 2025. So
buckle up.
Yeah. Get ready. We're going to be talking about operating losses and strategic shifts.
Lots of strategic shifts.
And really, like, just the changing landscape of healthcare as a whole.
Yeah, and Walgreens is in a very interesting position because they're kind of in that, like, balancing act of trying to be, still be, or remain that retail pharmacy giant.
Right.
But also become this player in the U.S. healthcare market, which is no small feat.
Absolutely. So for those who maybe aren't familiar, Walgreens Boots Alliance is more than just your local corner drugstore.
Yeah.
They've got a 170-year history. They have a massive global presence. They operate across three key segments, U.S. retail pharmacy, international, and U.S. healthcare.
Oh.
And, you know, they're also, it's not just about profits for them either.
Yeah.
They've got this big commitment, and they've been recognized for their commitment to ESG. So that's environmental, social, and governance principles.
That's huge.
Yeah. They've gotten some pretty nice awards, actually, like disability. IN's Employer of the Year back in 2023. And they consistently make it into the Dow Jones Sustainability Indices.
Yeah. That commitment to ESG is very important in this day and age. Consumers and investors are really looking at that when they decide who they want to support.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even with all of the accolades, fiscal year 2024 was not all roses.
No.
Not all sunshine and roses for Walgreens.
Not at all.
So they had a few financial hurdles, shall we say.
Several.
A $14.1 billion operating loss.
Yes.
Which is, that's a jump. That's a pretty big jump from the year before.
Yes. Very substantial.
What do you think were some of the contributing factors there?
So there's a couple of things happening. One is they had this non-cash impairment charge.
Okay.
Related to the goodwill of VillageMD.
Okay.
Which, one of their key acquisitions in the U.S. healthcare space.
Okay.
You can think of goodwill kind of like, you buy a house and it turns out to be worth less
than
you thought when you bought it.
Oh, so they overpaid, basically.
Essentially, yeah. They overestimated the value at the time of the acquisition. But it doesn't stop there.
Oh, no.
They also recorded impairment charges on assets within their U.S. retail pharmacy segment.
Okay.
And also CareCentrix's goodwill. So they had a couple of these situations.
Foreboldable.
Yeah. Issues there. And then in addition to that, you have the challenging U.S. retail environment,
sure.
The pressure on reimbursement rates, lower gains from sale leaseback transactions, and then incentive accruals were actually higher.
So it was just like a combination.
It was, yeah, like a perfect storm
of
financial challenges all hitting at once.
Wow. Okay, so their U.S. healthcare segment, I mean, it shows some potential, for growth, but it seems like it's also been dragging them down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's tricky. It's got all this potential. It's complex.
Right.
And it has been weighing on them.
Mm.
And it's also important to note that this fiscal year 2024 loss is coming on the heels of another significant charge in 2023.
Okay.
Which was $6.8 billion. And that one was related to the opioid-related claims and litigation.
So 2 years in a row.
Two rough years.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Okay. I want to touch on something quickly. We see this a lot, but maybe some people listening don't quite understand.
Yeah.
The difference between GAAP and non-GAAP measures.
Right.
And the 10-K filing mentions both, but I'm not sure everyone understands.
Sure, yeah. So think of GAAP. which stands for Generally Accepted Accounting Principles.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that as like the official rule book for financial reporting. Everyone has to follow it. It's the rules of the game.
Got it.
Non-JAP measures, on the other hand, are like house rules. They allow companies to make adjustments to those numbers.
Okay.
By excluding certain items that might not reflect their ongoing performance.
So non-JAP can sometimes give a clearer picture.
It can. But you have to look at both.
Yeah.
To get the full story.
Makes sense. Now, Walgreens is actually trying to simplify their financial reporting.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Right. They're doing that by winding down sale-leaseback programs, and they're selling shares of Cencora.
Exactly.
Which is a pharmaceutical wholesale and distribution company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make it easier for everyone to understand.
Yeah, clean up the rule book a little bit.
That's always good. So with all of these financial things, all these challenges, what's the plan? What are they going to do?
Well, they're making kind of a strategic shift. It's like back to basics.
Yeah.
Doubling down on what they know, retail pharmacy as their core focus.
Interesting, because hasn't retail been pretty rough lately?
It has. Yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah.
But their strategy is multifaceted. So they're doing this multi-year program to right-size their store fleet, make sure that they've got the right number of stores in the right locations.
So it's not just about closing stores. It's about making sure they're positioned correctly.
Exactly. It's strategic.
Yeah.
They're also laser focused on customer experience, both in-store and online.
Okay.
So that's going to be key for them.
So it sounds like a combination of, like you said, back to basics.
Yeah.
But with a modern twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So how does all of this translate into, like, how does this fix those financial concerns?
Right. Well, it's all connected. So this whole retail pharmacy focus is intertwined with their financial strategy. So over the next few years, they want to strengthen their balance sheet.
Right.
So to do that, they're going to monetize non-strategic assets, reduce their lease exposure, and tackle their net debt. So it's like they're getting their financial house in order at the same time that they're kind of renovating the business.
Yo, two-pronged approach, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Operational efficiency and then going back to their core strength.
Okay, so they're basically saying, we're going back to what we do best.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it better.
Smarter, better, faster.
Yeah, exactly.
More efficient.
Okay. So let's look at some of those key segments you talked about.
Yeah.
U.S. retail pharmacy.
Yes.
That's their bread and butter, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the core.
They have a crazy market presence. Like almost 80% of the U.S. population lives within 5 miles.
That's huge. Yeah, it's a huge footprint.
Of Walgreens.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Or Duane Reade.
Exactly.
That's wild.
So, and to capitalize on that, they've got this omni-channel approach. So integrated e-commerce, mobile app.
Right, making it easy.
Trying to meet consumers where they are.
Okay, so.
And they also have this My Walgreens credit card program, which is a unique feature within this segment. You know, offering loyalty rewards, and driving consumer spending.
Smart. Okay, so they've got a lot of strengths there, but
they do.
You know, they're not totally immune.
My business,
the challenges, right?
Right.
So what are some of the things that they're struggling with?
Well, they rely very heavily on third-party reimbursements, particularly from pharmacy benefit management companies or PBMs.
PBMs.
Yeah.
Those things. Those are always, every time I see a PBM, I'm always like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this.
They're complex.
Yeah, they're really complex.
So think about them as the middlemen between drug manufacturers, health insurers, and pharmacies like Walgreens.
Okay.
So they're the ones negotiating the drug prices
with
manufacturers, deciding what drugs are going to be covered by insurance plans, and setting reimbursement rates.
Okay, so they have a lot of power.
A lot of power.
In the whole ecosystem of pharma.
Yeah.
Okay, so how is that impacting Walgreens then?
So that's a challenge for them because they rely on just a handful, a limited number of these PBMs. And they're constantly trying to lower costs.
Right.
So that means putting pressure on Walgreens.
Right, to take less money.
Exactly.
Right.
And they can also restrict which pharmacies included in their networks, and any changes to that can impact Walgreens.
It's like a constant negotiation.
It is. It's a power struggle.
Yeah.
And then you've got all this consolidation and strategic alliances happening across the healthcare industry, which
it's changing all the time.
It's very dynamic.
Yeah.
So they're kind of caught in the middle of this giant game of chess, trying to make the right moves to stay ahead.
Yeah, and ahead of all these changes that are happening all the time.
It's tough. They've got to be on their toes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to kind of combat that reliance on PBMs, Walgreens has been very aggressively expanding their U.S. healthcare segment.
Okay.
It's got a lot of potential, but it's complex. It's got inherent risks. It's kind of like, you know, trying to tame a wild beast.
Okay, so why is this segment so challenging then?
It's a totally different business model than traditional retail pharmacy. So they've done some big acquisitions in this space, VillageMD, Summit, Shields, and CareCentrix, all under that U.S. healthcare umbrella.
Wow.
And they're moving toward these value-based contracts with payers. So that means their revenue is tied to patient health outcomes rather than just the number of services provided.
So there's like they're taking on more risk.
Way more risk with the potential for more reward.
Got it. So it makes their performance in this segment even more important.
Extremely important.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to those impairment charges we talked about, one of them was related to VillageMD, which is a key player in their U.S. healthcare strategy. So VillageMD operates hundreds of primary care clinics across the country.
Okay.
And their whole idea is to integrate those into the Walgreens stores so they can create these like super convenient healthcare destinations.
So leverage their existing footprint.
Exactly. Yeah. Utilize the customer base they already have coming in the door.
Clever.
But
you said there were some challenges with VillageMD's performance, right?
Well, so VillageMD has been struggling financially.
Okay.
So it's kind of raising concerns about its long-term viability. There, you know, I always use this analogy. It's like buying a fancy new car and then it keeps breaking down.
Right, yeah.
And you're stuck with these repair bills.
You're like, wait, I just bought this brand new car.
Exactly, yeah.
Why is it not working?
Exactly. So it's not just about integrating. They've got to make sure it's actually successful.
Yeah, are contributing to the bottom line.
Yeah, to the bottom line, yeah. Not just sucking money.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk international.
Yeah.
Because the 10K filing, it mentioned Boots stores in the UK, Ireland, and Thailand, and Benavides in Mexico.
Yeah.
They also had a presence in Chile, but they sold off their Farmacias Ahumada.
Right, they did.
Business there in fiscal year 2024.
Correct.
So it sounds kind of like a mixed bag.
It is. Yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah.
The international segment has its own set of challenges, especially in the UK. The retail environment there has been really rough. They've had to close stores as part of their transformational cost management program.
So streamlining.
Yeah, kind of adapting. Yeah, trimming the sails to weather the storm.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so before we move on, I want to talk quickly about you mentioned potential conflicts of interest.
All right.
With the leadership team.
Some of the executives have ties to other companies, which, you know, could potentially raise concerns about decision making, their priorities.
That makes sense.
Transparency.
Yeah, transparency is key.
It's always good.
Strong corporate governance, you know, to maintain trust with investors and the public. So it's definitely something.
Yeah, keep an eye on.
To keep an eye on.
Okay. Now, we always have to talk about risk, right? Wow. Every deep dive.
It wouldn't be a deep dive.
You got to talk about risk.
If we didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the 10K highlights a few. Supply chain disruptions, the opioid litigation, which is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think our listeners should be not concerned about, but what's a big one?
Well, I think supply chain is a big one.
Yeah.
Because they have such a intricate global network.
Yeah.
That delivers their products. So any hiccups there can cause...
Yeah, shortages, delays, you know, just...
Yeah, and we've seen...
People get frustrated.
We've seen over the last few years, global events can have this domino effect.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's something they've got to stay on top of.
It's like a giant web. And any little snag can cause ripples.
You break one thread, the whole thing could unravel.
Yeah.
Then you've got the legal and financial burden of the opioid-related claims.
Yeah, it's still going on.
And litigation, it's ongoing, and it's a big risk.
It's a reminder that even when you're focused on the future, sometimes the past can...
It can catch up to you.
Yeah, exactly. It can catch up to you.
Yeah.
Okay, and then also I feel like we should mention...
Cybersecurity.
Yeah.
You can't forget that. In today's world.
In the digital world.
Protecting data is super important. They're processing so much financial information, personal information.
Right.
They're a prime target for cyber attacks. Now, they have implemented a robust program, but it's like an arms race.
It's constantly evolving.
Yeah, because the bad guys are evolving too.
Exactly. And I always think about, you can have the most sophisticated systems in place,
right,
but all it takes is one
human error.
One human error.
One little slip up.
Exactly. Okay, so understanding a company's risks, this is why we talk about it.
Yeah, it's important.
It's important. Gives you kind of a more nuanced perspective on their potential.
Yeah, it's like reading the fine print before you make a major purchase. You know, you wouldn't buy a house.
Exactly. You get an inspection.
Without an inspection. So this is kind of like the inspection of the company.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to understand what you're getting into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
I want to talk about customer experience.
Yeah.
Which Walgreens is really
super important for them.
It's like their bread and butter, kind of, right?
It is. And they're really trying to blend the physical and the digital world.
Yeah.
To create this seamless, personalized experience. Hmm. Whether you're in store, online, or on their app.
Right. That's what people want these days.
Convenience.
Yeah.
Personalization. They want to feel in control of their healthcare journey.
Yeah, and they've got the My Walgreens.
Yeah, that's a
loyalty program. It's a good example of that, right?
It is, yeah. It goes beyond just accumulating points. It's personalized recommendations, managing prescriptions, accessing healthcare services all in one place.
Yeah.
That's like a little healthcare assistant right in your pocket.
And they've still got their physical stores, right?
Oh, yeah. They're not.
And that's still important.
They're not abandoning those.
Yeah.
No, they're investing in making them more modern, welcoming spaces.
Yeah.
Personalized consultations, expanding the range of health and wellness services.
So they're building relationships.
Yeah, it's more holistic.
Yeah.
It's not just transactional anymore. It's about that relationship.
And that ties into the financials.
It does. It all comes back to the bottom line. So if they can create this loyal and engaged customer base, they're going to hopefully boost sales, increase profitability.
Right.
And that makes investors happy.
Happy investors. Mm. So it's smart. But like we said before, it's not
easy
without its challenges.
Wow. Right. They've got to constantly innovate.
Yeah.
Stay ahead of consumer trends, which change all the time, and stand out in a very crowded marketplace.
They got to find a way to be different.
They do. They can't just blend in.
Okay. So let's look at this U.S. healthcare expansion.
Yeah, this is the big one. It's a bold move.
It's really interesting.
It could really shake up the entire industry. I mean, what they're trying to do is pretty revolutionary.
So what, you know, we talked about some of the challenges they've faced.
Yep.
But what does this actually look like?
So they're trying to build this network
of
healthcare providers through acquisitions, partnerships, developing new service offerings.
It's like multi-pronged approach.
Imagine walking into a Walgreens and not only filling your prescriptions, but you can get a flu shot, consult with a doctor, even receive urgent care.
It's like one-stop shop.
That's the idea, yeah. They want to be the healthcare destination.
That's ambitious.
It is. It's very ambitious.
But also risky, right?
Very risky, because you're entering a highly regulated industry, complex reimbursement models, and you constantly have to be focused on delivering high-quality care.
Right.
So it's a big, it's a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
And it's going to require huge investments.
Yeah. So it's more than just offering those services.
Yeah.
It's about doing it the right way.
Exactly. And doing it well.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they'll get in trouble.
Right.
And then they've also got to think about the talent pool, right?
Yeah.
They need to attract these skilled healthcare professionals who are passionate about delivering exceptional care. If they can't get the right people in place, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's not.
Okay, so it is a very multifaceted.
It is. It's a lot of moving pieces.
Challenge.
Yeah. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So.
But if they can put it all together.
Yeah. It could be.
It could be huge.
Yeah. Very lucrative. And really like revolutionize how.
It could change the game.
We think about healthcare.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's move on to their commitment to environmental, social, and governance. We've talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
But I want to dive in a little bit deeper to the specifics of what they're doing.
Yeah. So they've got this whole program in place, a comprehensive ESG program that addresses a whole range of issues, from reducing their environmental footprint, to promoting diversity and inclusion, to ensuring they have ethical sourcing practices. It's about really embedding these principles into their daily operations and their decision-making processes.
So not just talking about it, but actually doing it.
Doing it, yeah. They're walking the walk.
Okay. So can you give me some specific examples?
Sure. So they're making big strides in reducing their environmental impact, investing in renewable energy, reducing waste, improving energy efficiency in their stores and operations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they're going even further. They're working to reduce their carbon footprint in their entire supply chain.
Right.
Engaging with their suppliers to promote sustainable practices.
It's one thing to do it yourself, but to, like, get other people involved.
It's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
It's about making a bigger impact.
That's impressive. Okay, and on the social side of ESG, what are they doing?
They're very focused on creating a diverse and inclusive workplace, promoting the health and well-being of their employees, and supporting the communities they serve. So it's not just about profits.
Right.
It's about people and the planet.
It's about,
it's about doing good while doing well.
Okay, can you give me some examples of that?
Sure. So they've received recognition for their efforts to hire and promote people with disabilities. They're working to increase diversity at all levels of the company.
Okay.
They recognize that a diverse workforce brings more perspectives and ideas to the table.
Right.
Which is ultimately...
makes you better.
Going to lead to better decision making and better outcomes for everyone.
Exactly.
And on the community support side, they're committed to giving back to the communities they serve, supporting local charities, sponsoring health and wellness initiatives.
So they're taking a holistic approach to ESG.
They are. It's environmental, social, and governance.
All those factors.
It's not just a checkbox exercise for them. It's about integrating it into their overall business strategy.
Okay, so now it's time to talk money again.
Okay.
So how is all of this, these great initiatives and everything, how is that playing out in their financial performance?
Well, so they're facing headwinds, like we talked about, a challenging retail environment, pressure on reimbursement rates, and they've got the ongoing costs of this U.S. healthcare expansion.
Right.
So it's a lot to juggle. They've implemented cost-cutting measures, streamlined operations, taking steps to improve profitability, but they're still searching for that perfect formula to drive consistent growth. It's elusive.
It is. It's elusive. And actually, a good indication of the pressures they're facing is they've made the decision to reduce their dividend payment.
Okay. Now, that's a big deal. That's going to upset some investors.
It will. Yeah, it will. Some investors rely on that.
Yeah.
But I think what they're signaling is that they're really prioritizing investments in their core businesses and the U.S. healthcare expansion. So it's kind of...
It was like a trade-off.
They're sacrificing now for the future.
Yeah, they're playing the long game.
Okay.
And it's a gamble. It's a calculated gamble.
Yeah.
But they believe that these investments will eventually...
Yeah, they'll pay off.
Pay off.
Okay, so let's talk about their workforce.
Yeah, so...
I mean, they've got hundreds of thousands of employees.
Massive workforce.
Yeah.
Global.
And you need to have the right people in place to do all of this.
Absolutely. Your employees are the face of your company to your customers. And their skills, knowledge, and dedication are crucial for delivering a positive experience and ultimately driving the company's success. So
what are they doing to ensure they have the right people?
Right. Well, they're investing in them.
Okay.
Competitive wages, benefits, offering opportunities for professional development, and creating a culture of inclusivity and respect.
Okay, so that sounds like a good foundation, but it's a competitive job market out there.
It is.
It takes more than just the basics, right?
It does, yeah.
To keep people...
Absolutely, you've got to...
Especially in certain sectors, like...
Yeah, pharmacists.
There's a shortage.
Big shortage.
Yeah.
Huge challenge.
So how are they addressing that?
So they're partnering with universities, offering scholarships and apprenticeship programs to kind of create this pipeline of skilled pharmacists.
So they're really thinking long term.
Yeah, long-term solution.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just about entry-level positions. They're focused on leadership development as well.
Okay.
So training and mentorship programs to help their employees
right.
develop leadership skills and prepare for bigger and better
That's
roles within the company.
Okay, now let's talk about their supply chain.
Yeah, so...
It's got a very vast...
It's massive. It's gold.
And complex network of suppliers, distributors,
yeah. yep.
getting things from the manufacturer all the way to the customer, right?
Right.
Which is essential for any retail business.
Absolutely. Without a functioning supply chain,
yeah.
you're done. So they've got to make it resilient
right.
and adaptable.
Okay, so what are they doing? What are their specific actions to do that?
So they're taking this multi-pronged approach again, diversifying their supplier base.
Okay.
So they're not relying on any single source.
Smart.
Yeah, for these critical products. They're building redundancies into their network.
Okay.
So that if one supplier...
Right, if something happens.
...has an issue, they can quickly pivot. And they're also strengthening relationships...
Yeah.
...with key partners working together.
Yeah, collaboration.
Collaboration, communication, they're sharing information.
Okay.
Trying to anticipate potential disruptions.
So that they can react... Quickly.
Yeah, they want to be ahead of the curve.
Right, exactly.
Instead of reacting to it.
Okay, and I imagine technology.
Oh, yeah. Technology is a big part.
It's a big part of
all of this. They're using sensors, data analytics, artificial intelligence, all of that to monitor inventory levels, track shipments, and identify potential bottlenecks.
So they're using the technology to make it more...
It's all about efficiency.
Efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's look at research and development.
Yeah, so they're not...
Because they're not content with just being a retailer anymore.
No, they want to be more than just a retailer.
Yeah.
They want to develop new products and services.
That's interesting.
To meet these evolving consumer needs. So...
So what are some of the R&D initiatives that they have going on?
So they've got a whole R&D team.
Okay.
Focused on a wide range of projects from... New formulations for their own brands,
okay.
you know, their private label products, to exploring AI to improve patient care. They're also collaborating
yeah.
with universities and research institutions to tap into that cutting edge.
So they're really pushing the boundaries of innovation.
They are. They're really trying to be innovative.
Okay.
And this is key for their success.
Yeah.
Because it allows them to differentiate themselves.
Right.
from the competition and create those new revenue streams.
Exactly. So they're not just,
yeah.
they're thinking about the future, but they're also
investing in the future.
Okay. So now let's talk about the financial side of all of this. So they've got to manage their finances well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For their shareholders.
They're a public company. They have a responsibility.
Yeah, they have a responsibility.
To their shareholders to manage their finances well. Now, they have received some criticism in recent years for some of their financial decisions.
Okay.
Particularly related to those acquisitions
yeah.
and cost-cutting measures. But they are trying to improve their transparency
okay.
and accountability. So they're providing more detailed financial reports. They're engaging with their investors more and trying to be more clear about the path forward.
They're listening?
Yeah, they're listening. They're trying to address the concerns.
Okay, good. Now let's talk about their relationships with suppliers.
Yeah, they've got...
This is a big part of their...
Huge network.
Right.
From these big pharmaceutical companies to small local businesses.
Right.
And maintaining those strong collaborative relationships
yeah.
is crucial for their success.
So we talked about the importance of the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
How are they building those relationships? What are they doing?
Well, they're trying to build these mutually beneficial partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So fostering open communication, sharing information,
mm.
working together to improve efficiency and sustainability throughout the entire supply chain.
So it's more than just a transaction. Like,
yeah.
give me the cheapest price.
It's a partnership.
Yeah.
It's long term.
It's a long term relationship.
Yeah. They're not just trying to squeeze their suppliers
okay.
for
yeah.
every last penny. They recognize that their suppliers are key.
The key to their success.
To their success.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about investors.
Yeah.
Which is another very important.
Big one.
Stakeholder group.
As a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
They've got to manage their finances prudently. They've got to deliver those strong returns.
Right.
And be transparent and timely about their performance.
So they talked about the transparency and all that. What are they doing, like, beyond that?
So They're hosting earnings calls. They're providing detailed financial reports.
Okay.
They're attending investor conferences, and they're meeting with investors one-on-one to talk about their concerns and answer their questions. They're trying to be proactive.
So being proactive, accessible.
Yeah.
Responsive.
Yeah, responsive.
Good. Okay. Now, let's talk about pharmacy margins.
Okay.
Because this is a big pressure point, right?
Yeah.
For the entire industry.
The whole industry, yeah.
So we talked about the PBMs, but what else is adding to this pressure?
So it's just a very competitive industry in general. You've got reimbursement rates
right.
for prescription drugs that are constantly under pressure. So they're having to constantly find ways to maintain profitability in those operations.
So it's a really tough spot to be in.
To be in.
So what are they doing?
So they're doing a lot of things. They're negotiating hard with the PBMs to get favorable reimbursement rates. They're looking for ways to dispense meds more efficiently. They're expanding their offerings of the higher margin services like immunizations, health screenings.
Diversifying,
adding value.
Adding value.
Yeah. Constantly trying to improve efficiency and reduce costs at the same time.
Okay. And I'm sure technology plays a part in that as well, right?
No, absolutely. They're exploring new technologies and innovations to improve that efficiency.
Yeah.
Like automated dispensing system.
Right.
Which can help streamline things and reduce errors.
Yeah. So it's about using the technology to make things better.
To make things better, yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about consumer behavior.
Yeah.
Because that's evolving all the time, right?
All the time, yeah. Consumers have more choices than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're constantly evolving, and Walgreens has to adapt.
They got to keep up.
They do, or they'll be left behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so how are they responding to these trends then?
Well, they're enhancing their digital offerings.
Okay.
Creating a more personalized shopping experience and broadening their range of products and services to cater to these changing needs.
Can you give me some specific examples?
Sure. So their mobile app, that's a big one. They're making it super easy and convenient for customers to do all kinds of things. Refill prescriptions, check store inventory, clip coupons, manage their loyalty rewards.
So really making it easy.
Yeah, making it easy, accessible, and on the customer's terms.
Exactly.
They're also offering online ordering and delivery options.
Right, yeah.
Recognizing that
people don't want to leave the house.
Sometimes you just don't want to leave the house.
Yeah.
You want it delivered.
Okay.
And they're expanding their offerings of health and wellness products.
Okay.
Recognizing this trend toward holistic well-being that consumers are increasingly focused on. So it's not just about filling a prescription anymore. It's about supporting a healthy lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
It is.
Okay. So they're a lifestyle brand now, basically.
Yeah, kind of. They're trying to be.
Okay, so now let's talk about their brand itself.
Yeah, their brand is important.
Yeah, it's important to build a strong, recognizable brand, right?
It is, because it's all about trust and differentiating yourself from the competition.
Yeah.
You got to stand out. You can't just be another drugstore.
Exactly. So how are they trying to strengthen their brand then?
Well, they're investing
A
lot in marketing and advertising.
Go ahead.
They're running those big national TV commercials, sponsoring community events, and they're using social media to engage with consumers and build relationships.
Yeah, they've got to reach people where they are.
They do.
Right.
And it's all about creating a positive, memorable experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the brand.
Okay, so let's look at competition, because I know that's always...
Yeah, that's a big one.
A risk factor, especially in this industry.
Especially in this industry. So the pharmacy and healthcare industries they're super competitive.
Yeah.
And new players are popping up all the time.
Right. Disrupting those traditional models of care and challenging the established players. So think about online pharmacies, telehealth companies, even big box retailers are starting to expand into health and wellness. It's getting crowded.
Marketplace.
Yeah.
So how are they going to stay ahead of all of that?
So they've got to be vigilant.
Yeah.
They've got to adapt to these market dynamics.
Yeah.
And they've got to find those ways to be different from everybody else.
They've got to, relevant.
Relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't become obsolete.
Exactly. Okay. So what are their plans to do that?
So they're doing a lot of things we already talked about.
Yeah.
Investing in innovation, enhancing customer experience, building that strong, recognizable brand. But they're also looking at strategic partnerships,
okay,
acquisitions. Mm-hmm. So trying to expand their reach, their capabilities, and their offerings.
So really just kind of trying to anticipate
mm-hmm.
where things are headed.
Yeah, you can't just sit back and wait.
Right, to see what happens.
You got to be a proactive.
You got to be ahead of it.
Be ahead of it, yeah.
Okay, so Walgreens is, I mean, they're at a crossroads.
They are. It's an interesting time for them.
Yeah.
They're facing these challenges, but they're embracing the opportunities.
Yeah.
Trying to transform
yeah.
to adapt to this rapidly changing world.
Yeah, it's a very dynamic.
It is.
It is.
It's going to be interesting
yeah.
to see how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. So Walgreens Boots Alliance.
Yeah.
A company to watch.
Absolutely.
Really a microcosm of like
yeah.
the healthcare industry.
Yeah, you can really see those trends playing out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the takeaway for our listeners today
yeah.
is understanding their challenges, their opportunities.
Mm.
It's a great way to understand, like you said, the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And it's a story that's going to continue to
yeah.
unfold.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for this deep dive on. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Walgreens Boots Alliance.
It was fun.
And we'll see everybody next time.
See you next time.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.